Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible.
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Thank you so much for joining us. Joining me in the studio is Travis
McClunky
and Brian Malkowitz, back from his five-year exodus.
Yeah, my bad.
Sabbatical journey back from
I've been on assignment for too long, and I'm
Brian,
what
embargo game have you been capturing for the last
I've been playing, let's see, The Witcher 5,
Mass Effect
Half-Life
5,
7,
Oblivion 2,
Mass Effect 7,
KOTOR. That's what Brian's been working on. On today's show, we're going to be talking about what's been going on with Stonks.
Stonks.
Have you donated? Have you invested? Sorry for the peeking. We're also going to be talking about the weapon passes, and largely that's the main stuff going on this week. So might be a little bit of a shorter episode as a heads up. I know a lot of people don't like that, but
it's only when I'm here. No one wants to hear me talk for that long.
Let's start with the part that's probably not going to take very long. Did you guys donate?
I did.
Are you still investing?
I have zero francs right now.
Okay.
I mean, we're going to hit it anyway, so I've just been investing.
Donating. We're going to hit it because we're donating. So don't stop donating. So that way we hit it.
When we started recording the show last, I looked, we're at about 7 billion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The goal is 9,777,777,000.
Yep.
That is the goal.
Yep.
I think there's a good chance we hit it on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And my logic for that is that a lot of people have been donating.
And it's the weekend, too. People are going to
sign up.
I have like $5,000 or whatever I haven't donated yet.
$5,000.
It's just the inventory thing. So when I donate it, of course I'm going to be going for weapon rolls and such and for the free XP, basically.
Yeah.
So I got to make sure I invest it and take the time to do that. But also my inventory is a disaster. Good news. Bungie, on a separate note, has given me a reason to delete more things. They're taking a massive weapon pass.
It's time to delete your Izanagi burdens and your revokers.
Thank you to the Twitter person who sent me that joke.
I thought it was a Destin original.
Nope, definitely not. Season of Redacted, we've adjusted quite a few weapon archetypes alongside the changes to swords that were announced 2 weeks ago. Well, these are not the changes in the release. We're covering some important conversation pieces here. What do you guys want to start with? Izanagi's.
Izanagi's, I think, is a pretty big one. It defines the PvE meta, and Brian, as our resident PvE fanatic, how do you feel about this?
I feel like they just buffed sniper rifles, and they're already just dismantling them, and I'm like, cool, man.
So let's give people Let's give people the data. Damage to major enemies, reduced to pre-Shadowkeep values, they're down 20%.
Mm-hmm.
Adaptive Sniper's precision multiplier has been reduced from 3.25 to 2.95, and Rapid Fire Sniper's base impact has been reduced from 100 damage to 90 damage. Great, so I don't use snipers anymore.
So I know that this obviously affects Izanagi's in particular and snipers in PvE. Do you think it'll affect snipers' kind of ascension into PvP?
I hope to God not.
Yeah,
I think snipers...
Do they still one headshot?
They should.
Yeah, but before the issue was the flinch.
Yeah.
There were. I'm wondering if...
Hey, at least Izanagi's getting no distraction now, so you won't have to worry about his flinch as much as if you're ADSing for a bit.
There you go.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think this will affect PvP. And to be fair, snipers were incredibly dominant.
Well, it's the two-body thing that I think people were worrying about.
In PvP.
Like, if two-body shotting with a sniper rifle, which I guess a lot of people are complaining about, but still makes kind of sense. It's a sniper rifle. Come on.
It's a sniper. If you get shot twice to the body, you should get a kill.
Yeah.
Once to the head is a kill. That's how a sniper rifle should feel.
I agree.
That's how it should be. I hope this doesn't affect PvP. If you are going to make it three to the body, we should start with more ammo then.
If it's three to the body, that's just terrible.
If it's three to the body, just don't use it. Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Use a scout rifle. Scout rifles, you can get three to the head.
You could use three tap with a hand cannon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reduced sniper rifles to be as effective as a hand cannon. Time will tell. I don't think that's what's happening.
No, I don't think so.
Sniper rifles feel like they are exactly where they should be. I like the amount of ammunition you get in PvP. I'm not really happy that they've decided to nerf things again in PvE. It just seems... I felt like the sandbox was in a pretty good place, with some exceptions we'll talk about.
I mean, the snipers were very dominant in PvE. Like, they were basically essential for
boss snipers fights. In PvE dominant, or was Izanagi's dominant?
It was Izanagi's.
Because they're not really using, not, no one's really using Whisper or Darcy or the other one.
Well, why would they legendary. If they already
exactly.
have an
Exactly. If, yeah. if you're using Izanagi, there's no other reason. But
my loadout for Garden of Salvation, for example, was Revoker and Blackhammer.
Really?
It's a sniper.
Yeah.
Blackhammer, huh?
I also used Revoker.
Really, he living in
Black,
Destiny.
Black Spindle.
There you go. Yeah.
My bad.
Sure.
Black Spindle.
That, if that's the weapon you want to call it still.
Blackhammer.
What's
Whisper
it
of the Worm.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I went back in time for a second.
Wadu.
I'm back. Whisper of the Worm is my favorite weapon in Garden of Salvation. But Izanagi's is the one that does more DPS.
Yeah,
but
it's just like,
maybe my loadout will be more viable now.
We'll see.
Yeah. And the reason I use that is because usually I'm the runner, so I would hop back in, and usually I'm just, you know, sniping things.
Do you think this will reduce the prominence of snipers in PvE, or do you think that it'll just make the sandbox more varied in terms of which sniper
it
you use?
Probably maybe more varied, because like there's still things that are like just super underperforming in comparison to Izanagi's Burden. So like I mean the only real way to tell too is like once the patch drops, we test it along things like Sleeper Simulant and Whisper of the Worm again and see if those are just doing comparable damages.
What do you think they'll use? If not snipers. If
not probably snipers. Not grenade launchers.
linear fusion rifles.
Probably. Yeah. Maybe rocket launchers.
Because those got buffed recently, and those aren't getting affected, so those might kind of just, like, depending on how much that actually affects it, maybe linear fusion rifles make a big comeback.
Maybe. Let's talk about the other changes. Grenade launchers, through a combination of archetype adjustments and new perks being introduced, grenade launchers have been quite powerful since the launch of Season of the Drifter. Keep peeking today.
Yeah.
We've changed
very
the
passionate.
Aggressive.
Oh, that was a peek too. That
aggressive
was
frame sub archetype to the rapid fire sub archetype to be more in line with other weapons established, blah, 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 blah. Aggressive frame grenade launchers are now rapid fire frame grenade launchers. Rapid fire frame grenade launchers have had their damage reduced.
That's Mountaintop, right?
To account.
Mountaintop is a rapid fire?
For their rate of fire, 0.8x. But now also have increased reserves. So you get more ammo, takes longer to reload. Damage,
less
more
damage,
ammo.
More ammo.
Yeah.
Previously, aggressive frame grenade launchers fired faster than adaptive, but had the same damage. Also, damage to major enemies and above by power weapon grenade launchers reduced by 10%. All right, so those are out.
Yeah, well, yeah, grenade launchers were incredibly effective at melting.
Do they just not like speedrunners?
Well, I think that kind of,
do
right,
they
it's
just
like
hate speedrunners. Bungie, why do you hate speedrunners?
Yeah, it's like
you did the sword thing, so they're not going to be able to speedrun the things anymore.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to speedrun with the Riven Cheese potentially with this change. You can probably still get there.
What if Season of Redacted, we know it's worthy, come on.
Season of Worthy.
comes out and it just brings back the rocket launcher meta, and just secretly we don't know yet. Because they didn't say it was all the weapon balances in here.
So I could see that happening. I think you're right, though. I think it's linear fusion rifles.
Yeah, I think
rifles.
It's linear fusion rifles. Because those aren't being touched, and they were buffed recently. So we'll see how that plays out.
They'll probably be the first to get debuffed in Season of
say
Worthy.
It's the
It'd be pretty cool if Sleeper was like really good again. I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, I don't think Sleeper's not going to change with, you know, the Season of the Worthy. It just might be more viable next to these things that are getting nerfed now. So it's bringing those things down. It's not bringing Sleeper up, but it just, you know.
Yeah.
Who knows?
We'll keep using Thousand Voices.
Thousand Voices, Divinity.
It's gonna bring some new players into the game. And one player is being taken out, Lord of the Wolves, hopefully. Release the Wolves now significantly reduces this weapon's accuracy while active. Thank you, Bungie. We'll see how much this actually impacts the use of the weapon. I still think you should just remove it. It's a stupid gun. And I hate.
Hey,
I hate
hey,
the gun. And it's
hey,
I
like calm that down.
Gun.
Like we still the Lord was still a very fun gun, but it's also like this is another thing where it's just impacting PvE versus PvP. Where it's
Brian
like,
uses it, doesn't he?
Not in PvP. Because I don't play PvP.
Lord of Wolves. This
that's
is for PvP. This stability thing, this is a PvP thing.
It is.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But specifically,
I just want to see how that. I mean, no one's using it in PvP.
Hold up. You're telling me you use Lord of Wolves in PvE like ever?
No, but I'm just saying it's not good in PvE. Now it's going to be even worse in PvE because it's
definitely
it.
Not going to use it.
So now I'm definitely not.
Well, here's the thing. This is not only a like PvP patch, it's a PvP PC patch, right? That's where the problem is.
Is that gun not like a problem on
no,
console?
No, it's
console
got a
players
recoil.
Like, it's fine, leave it
it's
alone.
Got, it's got crazy recoil on. I mean, I occasionally
is it because they have less frames?
Maybe, I don't know. Fewer frames.
Whatever.
We have more grammar.
All right.
Fewer frames, more grammar. Right. Oh, on console.
Excuse me.
Ryan throwing shade at console players for no reason.
Yeah.
What's up with that, bro?
Do what?
Throwing shade at console players.
He's got a Destiny tattoo now. He thinks he's cool. Yeah.
Let's talk about last word. Fanfire now adjusts the precision scaler while hip firing. Fanfire impact values have been adjusted. So precision hip ADS adjusted from 68, I'll round up, to... Okay, no, I can't round up. Here's the thing. 67.95/67.95. It's been adjusted to 68.27 to 52.2.
Yeah, so it's slightly more effective at hip fire, and it's significantly worse at ADS.
At ADSing.
Yeah.
So just don't ADS. So slide shot, opening shot, that's your god roll.
Yeah. Non-precision hip on last word.
Oh, sorry. I thought you moved into
this is last word.
Sorry.
Non-precision hip ADS adjusted from 50.01/50.01 to 38 out of 38. Ooh, okay. Aiming down sights no longer provides additional effective range, damage fall off. Reduce stability for mouse and keyboard input. Reduce the effective range to improve the experience. Honestly, I use Thorn. Now everyone's going to use Thorn.
I think so.
Yeah. The last word.
Specifically on PC.
But last word, it's still not as good as year one Thorn. Ping, ping. Walk away.
Oh, Destiny 1 Thorn?
Yeah.
Yeah, Destiny 1.
Did I say year one? Really year one of Destiny.
Brian's been gone for 5 years.
It's been a while.
He's been playing.
What's
Doom,
the Leviathan
Doom 3
I'm hearing about? What is this?
So last words, like not going to be in the meta anymore.
Right? I don't think so.
Probably not.
I mean, it was barely in the meta now. I mean, some people prefer
a lot of people.
Thorn,
but I mean, now it's going to be.
What's the hand cannon that's actually the problem? It wasn't last word.
That's actually the problem.
Yeah,
oh, you mean the energy one. Dude, I could play Destiny for 50 years and I wouldn't remember any of the names of the weapons.
It's when you're on the spot.
What?
When you're on the spot.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like remembering a spot. It happens all the time. You're like, wait a minute. It's right there. I can't remember the name.
It was the one that True Vanguard was talking about, right?
We just talked about it last week. Dear Lord, spare rations.
Spare rations. Okay, that's right. Yeah.
I had a god roll of that just sitting in my vault because I don't really like use PvP rolls.
Yeah.
So when people were like, oh, yeah, you just got to have a rapid fire and I forget what the other one you need for the god roll. And I was like, oh, I got one of those.
Yeah.
So good news, everybody. Spare rations has been untouched. You can delete your last word now. Freeing up that ball space, baby.
Delete a last word anytime you want anyway. Yeah, if you're not using exotics, just delete them. This is your problem. This is a Destin problem. He talks about vaults all the time.
How much vault space do you have?
I have 350 slots in my vault.
Yes.
Available?
Available.
So
no. So that's disgusting.
I will look at it right now on Ishtar.
Available?
Hold on. Maybe it's 250. I'll look on Ishtar.
That's still
that was a very clip. Why is he clipping so bad right now?
Well, he does. I don't know. Maybe the producer who set this up should have like looked at the levels or something.
I'm sorry, who just got our promotion?
Yeah, so me. I'm supposed to come into the studio and set up the soundboard.
That's
hey,
a director
you got promoted.
Role.
You do everything yourself now.
Exactly.
Congratulations.
That's what I'm talking about.
Thanks, Brian.
That's good.
Okay, so
shotguns one.
So I am taking up 217 out of 500 slots.
That's insane. What's your secret?
My secret is not keeping bullshit that you know you're never going to use. Yeah. Pardon my French.
That's what I do too, but I still end up with 400 slots.
My problem is I've gotten all the drops for the season. I haven't gone through and organized. I had like 100 slots at the start of the season. Now it's full. I haven't even pulled the gear for my alt characters. I've only been running my hunter. And I have to sit down now and clean my vault out. Like that's just so not fun in any way.
Yeah.
There's not a clearly conveyed correlation between the drop you have and the one that you get.
Right.
Just like, oh, this one's clearly better. And I think if Bungie could figure out a way
maybe like a color marker in like the corner instead of like what season it came from, maybe you can like add like an icon or your own, like a custom.
I actually already homebrew that by putting the lock symbol or not. You know?
Yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah.
That's what I do. I just lock it. I'm like, that's a good roll.
Things, but I mean,
on weapons, it's much easier. Yeah. I just look and I'm like, that one's trash.
Well, now
it's armor where you have to really look at it for a while.
Yeah.
And then manage it.
At least now, I know you guys probably talked about this like last episode or something, but now that they're removing the seasonal thing from the armor slot, now you can use it.
We were very happy about that.
I don't have to keep all my Dreambane armor stuff, and I can use stuff from the next season with all of the other old mods too.
For sure. Let's continue on weapons. Shotguns. Target acquisition for non-slug shotguns has been adjusted to no longer account for precision locations. Previously, target acquisition could actually cause the player's spread to deviate from the intended aim vector, causing most of the spread to miss.
Same with fusion rifles.
Cone angle is now adjusted on a per sub archetype basis and is no longer adjusted by the range stat. Let me read that again. Cone angle is now adjusted on a per sub archetype basis. Okay, so each of the archetypes are going to be different, and it's not going to be based on your range stat. That's a positive, actually. It's going to be clearer what you're getting.
Sure.
Aiming down sights no longer adjusts effective range for this weapon's archetype. So no more ADS with shotties.
That's going to annoy people. Yeah. I mean, I don't really use ADS with shotguns.
Yeah, same. So it's like
a shoot, but
yeah.
What would
that's
happen
what I was talking about earlier,
like,
where slide shot and opening shot are going to
be. You would ADS, your cone would sort of hone in, and your range would be further. So this is like a mind bender's answer, right?
Yeah,
essentially.
Anybody who grinded for snapshot sights is probably going to be real mad, or are already very mad.
Yeah. Probably already really mad.
I mean, I guess it's good that these don't affect slug throwing shotguns, but I still feel like some of those shotguns are kind of crazy.
Yeah, there are a few.
Yeah.
So shotguns is not great. People who grinded are going to be mad. The only reason I'm not mad is because I didn't grind for it.
Yeah.
That's the thing about Destiny.
But you should be mad for those people because they put the time in, where it's like you've put plenty of times into other things.
Oh,
you're just not being
sure.
directly affected by this one.
So for sure. So I'm less passionate than I normally would be. Had I put in time for Mindbenders, I would absolutely understand why you're mad.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
If I bet you all of the guests we've had for the past 4 weeks would be or probably mad at this right now.
Yeah. I just don't rock shotguns for PvP. And for PvE, I have trench barrel on enough shotguns that are going to be good, so I'm not too concerned there.
Yeah.
But for the PvP players, this is going to affect them, and it's going to force them to use different weapon archetypes.
I mean, shotguns were very dominant in PvP as well. Yeah. So
there were some really stupid ones, and I love it when I snipe you in the face and kill you, especially when you're rushing me. Yeah.
Destin, are you okay?
It's getting a little steamy in here, doesn't
it? Yeah, jeez.
Fusion rifles. Here's another one, Aaron Tills, we're looking at you.
What happened with Telesto?
Target acquisition for fusion rifles has been adjusted to no longer account for precision locations. Previously, target acquisition could actually cause the player's volley to deviate from the intended aim vector, causing most of the volley to miss. I just like that they use the word vector.
This happens to me all the time with fusion rifles, actually. I kind of hate the auto aim. It like locks in on people's head when you're using a shot.
And then it like shoots there.
Yeah, when you're using a fusion rifle, you want to aim for center mass and because it doesn't
you want all those bolts to hit it,
Yeah, and like I'll like aim at somebody and then another guardian will come running in between my line of sight and I get pulled onto his head and then God, come on, man. Yeah.
Damage fall off of this weapon archetype can now floor at 0.5x, previously 0.75x. Effective range and the impact of the optic stat for this weapon archetype has been reduced across the board so less distance, right? Because right now you can like shoot somebody across the map. It's a little ridiculous.
Yeah.
That one I agree with. Backup plan. Backup plan now adjusts impact to match the rapid fire sub archetype while active. Charge time is now set to match the rapid fire sub archetype 0.85 while active.
Hmm.
So you will shoot faster when it's on.
So is this a Arentil debuff or a Telesto debuff or both?
Arentil.
It's definitely an Arentil, and Telesto will still
be an answer. People have been talking about it for a while. I didn't use the gun personally, so I don't know how like OP it was.
It was pretty OP, at least on console. It was, yeah.
I think, so again, PvP perspective, I think they're going to be much less effective in the PvP space. PvE, honestly, none of the stuff that they've done is drastically going to affect PvE, except that
the sniper rifle
is Inagi's.
And the grenade launcher.
Yeah, that's actually pretty big. When you say not drastic, that's actually big because that's the meta right
now.
So it's literally those two are the meta.
Yeah, those two are the meta. They're being brought down enough that they're just going to be in line with the other weapons, meaning that we're going to get a new meta in the PvE sandbox. Shotguns, that's a PvP play. Last word, obviously PvP. Lord of Wolves, PvP. You know, for sure.
I mean,
fusions. It was the Arentil.
Maybe the PvE meta doesn't change because it's about usability too, right? Like shooting a grenade launcher at a Divinity weak spot is still easier than, you know, lining up like a linear fusion rifle shot to hit it. So it's like
possibly.
Just doom, 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 doom.
I don't know. So, the community tends to adapt to whatever.
We'll definitely adapt. But if they're just bringing it down the line, maybe just the easeability of using the snipers and the grenade launcher doesn't really change how we actually.
So
yeah, I'm just thinking about this, like going back to grenade launchers for a second. That's still not going to impact Wardcliffe. Some people don't like Wardcliffe because it's a super shutdown heavy. You get one shot in PvP, use it to shut down like a competitive super usually, especially mm-hmm. when you're in a close game. And I don't think that's going to be impacted, so that's not going to change.
Well, yeah, rocket launchers aren't touched at all, right?
No, at least
it's considered a grenade launcher, isn't it? Or is it a rocket?
No, it's a rocket launcher.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. But they haven't said anything. They said these aren't the only weapon balances for the next patch, so we could get a tuning for rocket launchers. I don't know.
I think Wardcliffe is perfect.
Wardcliffe is fine where it's at.
Everybody's using Deathbringer in PvP also because
Deathbringer,
like,
that's Ruth
too.
Well, one shot, if you shoot it to a grouped up team, it's going to track them and kill them all.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Truth is really good too because you get that extra shot.
Yeah. Man, we're over here talking about how rocket launchers are in a bad spot, but we're just talking about how three of them are just OP.
Yeah, you know what? But I mean, it's for a very specific situation. Yeah, very specific. PvP.
You know what's about to be my bay though?
Ooh,
my auto rifle.
Ooh, I got my. Yeah,
that was a great transition.
Steel weather repeater.
And my wife, sorry, honey.
Great segue.
I just like recently got a really, really good steel weather repeater.
Nice.
From the time lost weapon bounties. So
yes.
I'm actually really excited for the auto rifle buff.
So this is almost like a D1 level buff. This is the only buff in the bunch, in my opinion. And a lot of people are thinking that this means auto rifles are going to be the new meta. So precision frame,
maybe better.
Precision frame, 17/27.2 default SES precision, previously 17/25, so it's up 2% or 2 whatever metric that particularly
two
is.
Numbers.
Adaptive frame, previously 15.75/25.2, previously 13.75/22, so 22 to 25, 13 to 15. That's pretty significant. And then rapid fire, 13.4/20.1, 12.5 previously, /18.75. Oh man, those rapid fires.
Yeah.
Those are gonna be nasty, I think.
Yeah, so here's my thought on this. I think this will make
more bullets into your dome.
I think this will make auto rifles usable, but like this doesn't address like hand cannons. Like you were saying, like the only one it's touching is
the TTK.
So
on
spare rations and Thorn, the one that you like, aren't going to be touched by this. I think that people that prefer to play with those weapons will still use those weapons. But if this can make auto rifles at all feasible, like
already
awesome.
Already there was a time when Hardlight was being used in the Crucible space.
That's true.
So I do think that maybe we are going to see even more auto rifle use in the next season. Maybe they're even focusing on that for next season. So I can imagine, how is this going to impact Suros? Is Hardlight going to be even better now, like more feasible?
Especially since they removed that stupid screen shake that's been plaguing the gun for 6 years.
So I forgot about that already.
They've been looking at auto rifles for a long time. And they're like, just a little bit more.
I think. I
think this is going to put it to where it's actually viable. As
they've been afraid of those since the first.
Yes,
yeah, the first nerf
of
your
Destiny.
Yeah, but they've been afraid of them since then.
Since Destiny 1.
Since Destiny 1, they've been afraid of it. They've just been nudging them up in Destiny 2 ever so slightly since the launch of Destiny. Now we're hopefully they're at a spot where they're just good enough and they feel good enough to use next to everything else.
Yeah. Well, this buff will make Deej happy. You know, he still uses auto rifles.
He still uses Shadow Price. He's the only one.
He uses Suros too.
Shadow Price isn't in D2, I don't
know. I don't even know.
It never came
over,
right?
He just plays Destiny 1 just to use Shadow Price.
Yeah. No, he had Shadow Price specifically coded into Destiny 2
just
for
him. Yeah.
To use on his character. Just kidding. So Bungie does note in the TWAB, these are some of the biggest changes coming to weapons. Be sure to check out the official patch notes in early March for the full list. We also have a preview of exotic armor changes, along with tuning to your supers and abilities in the coming weeks. So we're getting another super patch. It's Void this time, right?
Yeah,
we did Solar last time.
I think the combo should be Void and something else. No, because we had Void last season.
No, they're talking about how they're tuning. So the first season, the first tune
I thought it was Void last time.
This was
Arc.
Solar.
It was Solar, right, because the Warlocks got the new melee.
And they changed
was the
hammer.
One before that. It was Void.
Yeah, so it must be Arc.
So it's Arc. Oh, that's my favorite on Honor. Didn't.
I thought Arc.
There was Arc.
Oh,
Day.
There was Arc Week that Arc they had, yeah, where they had the adjustment. Like yeah.
We'll see. Either Arc or Void.
On the note of the exotic armor, though, there was a lot of exotic armor there that's useless. So hopefully they're like attuning a bunch of different armor pieces.
Yeah, your sidearm loader.
Bows can be held indefinitely. Yeah.
Yeah, we've talked about that on the show. There's some odd choices for exotic slots.
Yeah.
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 More like options would be nice.
See, the thing is, the problem with the bow held longer thing, like it's a meme basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's also nothing you can pair it with. There's no bow that's like the longer you hold it, the stronger it gets.
If there was an exotic bow
up
like that, then
1,000% increase in damage or something. Like then that would make that a viable exotic. So if they were able to do something like that, sure. But right now there's so many examples where it's just a joke.
Yeah. And it's just like, I would honestly be fine if like, if the next season didn't have any new exotic armors, because it seems like they're just from the trend that they're doing is like one new exotic armor piece per character per season.
I actually like that. They've introduced some really interesting, useful exotics.
Which is fine, but I'd be fine with the next season if they didn't introduce any new exotics, if they just took the time to fix all these ones that are just sitting in our collections or our vaults doing absolutely nothing because they're just useless perks.
Yeah. Like, there's so many that you can't use.
There's so many.
That would be really cool. Hey, we're not doing new exotics this season. I still think they will. I think they I think what they'll probably do is we'll probably still get the three new exotics that they'll introduce, but it would be excellent if they just revisited the ones that are trash and just said, hey, we're changing the perks on all these exotics. We know they're dumb, so we've changed them. They'd never say dumb.
But also, am I crazy or were exotic armor catalysts supposed to be a thing at some point?
I don't know about that. There's still a bunch of exotics that don't have exotic weapons that don't have catalysts that still need some for. That I'd like to see being put in the sandbox or whatever.
Yeah, I think all the weapons should have catalysts. Like,
I feel like new exotics should just come with a catalyst right out the gate. They're getting better about it, especially with like the new seasonal guns that they're adding.
Yeah.
You know, you just pick it up from the first section of the new season pass and it's got an exotic. Well, you have to do that mission first, but I don't know. I think all exotics should have a catalyst when it just first drops.
Yeah.
One for you to chase.
So one other thing we should talk about. We've kind of gone over all the weapon changes. One other important thing. There was a cutscene this week.
That was a good one.
We can't forget about this. Here's what Bungie said about it in the TWAB. While all this has been happening, Osiris confronted an old ally, to provoke them to pick a side. Have you seen the new cinematic in-game? It's out there. You can sign on. It just plays when you sign on, by the way. In the weeks to come, your victory over the Red Legion on Mercury will be complete. A new season is on a rapid approach, and with it comes new mysteries, threats, and activities to plunder for rewards. If you're enjoying those obelisks, you still have time to farm their resonance levels and weapon bounties before the next season begins. We'll share more with you real soon.
So do we think it's going to be a Vanguard versus Drifter thing next season?
I sure hope not.
Nothing. The only reason I agree with you, Travis, is because last time they did it,
nothing happened.
Yeah, you just get... You got like what? You got seven.
You got different packages every week. Mm-hmm. But there was. I remember I got so excited when I saw the box. It was like, this decision will lock you out of lore tabs. We'll have narrative effects. I was like, whoa! Like this is crazy.
This is massive. And oh, then, none of that is
really,
true.
Didn't really pan out to much of anything except for whenever you join in Dredgen, he calls you a snitch if you side against him.
The other thing is that wouldn't it just divide the community between PvP and PvE? Like who is who's in PvP if the rumors of Trials coming back are true, isn't going to pick Osiris in like the Trials of Osiris. And then who for PvE, who has no interest in PvP?
He's like running, you're like running Trials and you're like
Rasputin.
Choose Rasputin. He's like, all right, traitor.
Yeah.
Go get those kills, traitor.
That's going to be the only change. Yeah.
Who would you side with, Osiris or
Osiris?
Rasputin, man.
Because I'm PvP.
All the way.
I'm PvP.
Rasputin.
But Osiris sucks.
Osiris's character is meh, because they haven't really developed him, but Rasputin's probably evil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he killed the Traveler.
That's why you want to be on his
side.
You want to be on the evil side.
Well, if Rasputin's powerful enough to destroy the Traveler, I want to be on that side.
Well, I'm going to be fighting for justice with Osiris.
I'm going to fight for life.
Yeah, enjoy your time.
OsirisForAmerica.com.
Enjoy your time in the Infinite Forest, not really doing anything.
Well, you know what? I've got a...
Good luck getting lost in the quarters of time.
I've got Saint 14 on my side, okay?
Yeah. Well, he's just in the tower now feeding pigeons. No. That's going to be his life.
You know, Osiris are like this, bro.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
They haven't had a single interaction in this entire season, so...
I actually don't think it's going to be what you guys think. I don't think it's going to be
I don't know if it's
going to be
I think they're going to team up. I think they're going to make... I think Rasputin is going to somehow empower Osiris, give him like a cool set of armor or something, and he's going to come back stronger than ever, and he's going to look cool, he's going to be cool, have this really interesting mission the same way that Osiris...
Saint 14?
Saint 14 did this season. And we're going to love him again.
Maybe. Here's my pessimistic outlook. I think that it's just going to be another loose end that they don't talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're probably right.
I saw a very good post on Reddit about like it was titled like mostly inaccurate description of season 10, and it listed all these things that when I read it I was like, it's probably all true. And it listed things like six player matchmaking activity that's basically just escalation protocol, but with all the escalation protocol weapons randomly rolled,
yeah.
All, you know, revamped armor, all that stuff. And I'm just like, I just go read through it and I'm all like, this is probably it. It's probably what next season is like all of these things. Cause like, that's what
every season has been.
Yeah. A six player matchmaking activity and then random rolled weapons of older weapons.
Mm. I've heard from countless people who have felt less engaged this season than ever before. The community event, while interesting, is largely not that. I would say the fun factor of donating Fractaline.
Okay, have you guys talked about that at all?
Is found within the meme? Not really. No. Why? What do you want
to
say?
Well, no, I just think it's ridiculous on how slow it is to, and like the expectation, it's happening, but I mean like people are just like upset, and I'm upset too about like the fact that like as a PC player, I'm feeling the need to create a macro to donate for me because of how long it takes to just...
You'd think they'd be able to say, just let me donate 1,000 at a time.
I yeah. just like I just
have
want
it
them,
to scale up. It's just a UI have element a slider. With a number.
That's how about a slider, or, you know...
Yeah.
Or, yeah, if you're on a PC.
I was like, huh, I want to invest all of them.
Yeah. They did it for Final Fantasy 14.
I literally put it on a show and just started.
Like, there's probably some technical limitations behind it with them like tracking all of those happening. So maybe like them doing increasing it by 100 is like letting the system is probably like the threshold where like people it can track it well enough that like they're putting in 100. So like the system's being able to track that. But if like people were able to type in 25,000 and like. 7,000 people are doing that at the same exact time. The system's like, whoa, what?
After reading about the bug that they encountered last week with it just deleting stuff, the way things are intermingled within the Destiny engine sounds like an absolute nightmare.
And yeah, it's like the devs probably are having a hard time with it.
Oh, we changed an inventory thing, and that caused it to delete all your materials. I'm like, how do you have these things tied together? That's terrifying.
And it's like, I doubt Bungie was like, all right, so we're going to make this new system where everybody has to donate Fractaline. We need 9 billion of them, but they can only donate 100 at a time every 3 seconds, and they're laughing about it as they're doing it. It's not that. There's got to be a
technical limitation. Stuff like that. Destiny is the only thing that makes me think there might be a Destiny 3.
Oh, because of the
engine.
The engine is limiting them so hard, and like this donation of Fractaline is like clearly obvious that there's some sort of limitation that is preventing them from letting us just donate as much as we wanted.
Yeah, because if we were able to donate 1,000, it would also like delete every exotic in the game.
Or probably.
Something like
it's like, no, it's like
how is your other inventory intermingled with this thing? Like their explanation for it, I was just like, I was flabbergasted, to be totally honest.
We don't know a lot
like
about
like working in Excel, it's like having a VLOOKUP that also deletes numbers from one of your other pages.
It's like every time someone donates 25,000 fractal lines, somebody gets a Gallarhorn
and Disney
too. That's how it breaks this, and that's why they don't let us do
it. I mean,
it.
We don't know anything about game development, so maybe this is like really common that this sort of weird stuff happens.
It does seem very odd to me.
Like, there was a story recently that most games are basically trash before launch because they do their polish pass, you know. Really
was that the Jedi Fallen Order article that people were passing around?
That was recent. Okay. Basically, Jedi Fallen Order, they're like, yeah, we know there's bugs, but we can launch it. It's in a good enough state.
And it was. Mm-hmm. I love that game.
Yeah, I love that game, too. Excellent. Definitely had so many bugs. I mean, I landed once, and then I landed on a planet once, and then I walked off the ship and then right off the edge, and it fell to my death. And
so I heard about bugs. I didn't run into any. I got lucky.
I ran into plenty. That's where we're at with Destiny this week, though. Real quick, last question for both of you guys. Mm-hmm. What is your take on this season? You have to give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down because it makes you take a hard line. You can't be middle ground.
Oh, this is so binary.
Yeah,
why don't we use the IGN scoring system instead? I know.
All right. No. I have to rate it, I got to give it a thumbs down due to player engagement. I feel like it did a poor job on player engagement and player investment, and it's too similar to the previous seasons.
Yep.
And that's why I would do thumbs down.
All right, I can see that. Yeah, like Sundial, don't like it at all. I didn't like it, so I'll give that a thumbs down. But season overall, I'd probably give it a 6 on the IGN scale.
Okay, all right.
Because it's okay. I mean, it's there's some fun bits about it.
I love.
I really enjoy the new weapons. I like the same storyline, but like,
it's actually harder than I realized because the Saint stuff was so good.
The Saint stuff was fun and good, but it's just like, you know, the main draw of the season, you know, which is always activities and things to do, was okay.
Yeah.
So you're giving it a thumbs down, but an IGN 6.
I'm giving
six.
It a... I didn't say... No, Sundial specifically.
Six, what are you giving it overall?
Overall, a 6.
Per his rule.
For his rule?
The thumb.
Bernie's calling me for more donations.
I guess if you're looking at... Well, if you're looking at it on like...
I'm not kidding. It was a nonprofit. Really? It's probably him,
yeah.
A Democrat candidate.
I'm asking you once again to get Fractaline.
I am asking for your Fractaline support. Yeah, I guess it has to be like a thumbs up, but not like full thumbs up, because like thumbs down is like an F, but a 60% is a D, which you pass.
Okay, by those rules, I'll give it a thumbs up. I was going to give it a thumbs down just because overall, like, the content for me is, like, lacking. Like, there's not a whole lot to do.
Yeah, I'm not completely mad at the season enough to give it a thumbs down. I don't want to say thumbs up because, like, that's just...
You gotta pick one.
I know. That's why I'm saying...
That's the fun of the experiment.
That's why I'm saying thumbs up, but, like, a D, because, like...
Thumbs up, but barely.
Thumbs up, but, yeah, it's a thumbs up because, like, you can't... Because 60% is passing, 50% is failing.
By that logic, I'll say thumbs up. But like for me, it's almost like how I feel when I wake up with this game. Because like
I thought you say wake up in your life. I was like, I wake up and my life is sad. I was like,
guess
I'm sorry.
I'm alive.
I hate you guys. no, it's like you so know, some days barely. I wake up and I'm just like, oh, and then other days I'm like, oh, this is fine. It's
you're not saying the whole game is trash. It's just like this season.
This contains season. No, obviously I still love Destiny.
Overall,
this season,
I would say it's probably the worst season since Shadow.
The worst.
There's only been two.
That's such a low bar.
I think I had less of a fun time. Even though we got a raid, I still don't think I really cared much for Undying.
Really?
Because
as a season, like, the problem with Undying is it's correlated with Shadowkeep. But if you separate,
you're right. You're
just,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
If you separate just Undying, that was also not great.
If you separate Undying from Shadowkeep, like you can't put those two together because that content is separate. If
Shadowkeep, thumbs Shadowkeep 100%.
Undying 100% of thumbs down.
Yeah.
100%. Wait, no.
It's the repetition.
Yeah,
because
the raid. Technically, there is no raid in Undying because that was the raid
was
part of Shadowkeep.
The event guard the Undying Mind event.
Undying Mind. All it had was the what was the IRC? It was so forgettable. I forgot what the mode was called when you go into the Black.
It was Final Assault. Was the last one before that.
What was it called?
Undying Mind. Who cares?
Yeah. That's so funny. It was a very boring
event. They deleted it. How am I supposed to remember?
I know.
Boring event where you went in, shot a bunch of stuff over three waves, then killed the final boss.
Exactly.
Thank God this season we got something different where you go in, kill a bunch of ads, and then kill a big final boss.
Yeah.
Gee, what's next season going to be?
Vex Offensive.
Wait, that was one season ago. You said two seasons. It was literally last season.
Yeah, and it wasn't great.
Yeah.
And we got it again, and we're going to get it again. If that's what we can expect from these seasons, I am... Very disappointed.
Yeah. It was also called Vex Offensive.
Vex Offensive.
If you're stacking Undying versus, like, in a vacuum, Shadowkeep out of there, Undying versus Season of Dawn.
This is good. Okay.
Dawn is much better.
Agree.
1,000%.
Agree. So let's play that game.
Yeah.
Travis? I guess we've already said Undying versus Dawn.
Dawn is better. Yeah, absolutely. But for me, just overall, like I give it a thumbs up, but barely. I think they can do better, and I think that if they want to keep players engaged, they need to give it something. I'm super hopeful. I should put the caveat that I'm super hopeful with Season of the Worthy. I think if they manage to give us Trials back and they revive a PvP endgame mode, I think that'll be a huge game changer because Trials is what kept Destiny 1 alive whenever it didn't have content. I mean, it was like the singular thing that everybody could go back to, and it wasn't like replaying a raid 20 times. It was like new and fresh every time you did it. And
Did we talk about the new Nightfall mode?
Oh, jeez. Thank you so much
super
for bringing
ordeal.
It up.
Grandmaster.
Yeah, Grandmaster difficulty.
I was
going
to call it Super Ordeal.
You know who else had Grandmaster difficulty? Anthem. Just saying.
Did it?
Where can they learn more about Anthem?
So I just want to know
at the Destin channel.
Other than they didn't really go into much about like reward specifics.
They said they're going to talk about it later. But like
I just hope that it's just not like more difficulty for the sake of difficulty. Like
here's what it
give
says.
Give me
a new
more
night-
of a reason.
I'm
here's
sure
what it says, Brian. A new Nightfall difficulty, officially dubbed Grandmaster, just like Anthem, will test even more proficient guardians. We'll have more details about the new ordeal in the coming weeks, but for now we have information from the dev team on the weapon changes, and we went over those. I'm really glad you said that, actually. I think it's positive. I joke about the Anthem correlation. Anything that we've talked about it on the show. Like, why would I do a strike? Well, now you have a challenging mode, more challenging mode.
But we've talked about it before, where challenging doesn't mean that you have incentive to do it.
Yeah.
What is the reason?
It's only the only mode where you can grind prisms and shards. But it'd be more enjoyable as a ex strike grinder, where I grind strikes all the time.
A reformed strike grinder.
A reformed strike grinder, but taking a sabbatical or a break from doing such. And the Nightfall Ordeal would be a great place to grind strikes if it was a playlist. Mm. If it rotated between those different, they could have, I know that, that would create a problem where everybody could grind for every different Nightfall specific weapon every week. So maybe they have one that's, featured that week that you can grind for, but just make Ordeal a playlist where every strike that can be an Ordeal is playable throughout the week. So that way grinding for shards and prisms isn't just a mundane task.
Yeah. They should do that. I mean, it seems like all of our solutions to problems in Destiny are make a playlist, like the raid.
Make
thing.
A playlist.
But yeah, I agree with you. That totally would solve.
Yeah, no, same thing. Yeah, same thing in raid. Just like you said,
make
like
it a playlist.
Make a playlist. Like so that way we don't have to do the same raid every single week.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I like the raids, but it just gets sometimes you just don't want to look at Garden of Salvation anymore.
Bungie, we want you to make us a playlist, a music.
Ooh, track. Make me a mixtape.
Yeah,
raids
make me a
mixtape
of strikes and raids.
All this feedback considered, I just brought up the Steam charts to so we can look at it. It's still in the 50,000 to 60,000s for played an hour ago. As of we're recording, in the afternoon on a weekday. This goes up on the weekend. Last 30 days, 60,000 active players. In January, 65. December, 95. November, 107. And October, when they launched, 165. So they've dropped 100,000 average players since October 2019. 100,000 drops.
Just on Steam.
Just on Steam. That's one platform.
Yeah.
So it seems like we're sort of leveling off around 60,000 active players. Yeah. And then I had another... Dang it.
Do you guys know how much it was in like Destiny 1 during the lulls?
No, but to correlate to some other big games, peak today, 800,000 Counter-Strike players, Dota 2, 600,000 today, GTA 5, 200,000 peak today, Tom Clancy, 163, PUBG, 500.
Yeah. Destiny still looks like it's in the top 10, though.
No, they're not. What is that? That's not top 10, though. This is top 100. So Destiny 2, peak today was 82.
Well, how far down is it from the top of that list?
It's like number 15. 1, 2, 3.
I mean, that's not terrible.
No, I mean, like, games would love to be in that space. Absolutely. So is Destiny dead? No. Could the seasons be better? Yes. And I hope Destiny continues to improve from here, because it does seem like they have been on a downward decline and they need to, like, level off. I think we're going to see a spike, and hopefully if 60 is their level, great. They'll be number 15 on Steam ad nauseum.
Yeah. And I think Trials will help sustain it.
Well, Trials would bring back a lot of people.
Yeah, I think
I bet Trials would bump up those rookie numbers. Get them back in the top 10.
Well, Trials was a lot of reason why a lot of people left.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, those are our just immediate thoughts. What do you guys think about the status of Destiny 2 or just the seasons overall? Let us know in the comments. Thank you so much for joining us. Until next time, everybody.
Guardians out.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.